Greetings from Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ebbett.
And I am a bouncer moving to the floor 4x4, trying to get to the middle of the floor.
A good thing, too, because Granny's getting a little crazy. I think that's what they say in that song. We are talking about You Gotta Listen to This. This episode, this time, it's Hammond's turn. Hammond is making me listen to an album called Skin by Psychofunkipus. Hammond, tell me why you've made me listen to this before we get into it.
All right. So I heard this. I heard the, what was it called? The Hillbilly Happy Smash in a little record store on the main street in Norfolk, Nebraska in 1991.
Wow. Oddly specific. Holy cow.
Because I remember distinctly because I was sitting there listening. I was looking at something else. I was looking at like a new Warrant album or something. And this came over the store speakers. And I started listening to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is hysterical. This is so funny. Now, seeing that I was on my mission, it probably would have been bad for me to purchase said album until I got home. So I went home and I wrote it down and I waited till I got home. And I think I got released in March of 91 and I bought it in April of 91 and I've had it ever since.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's just a fun album. There's something really quirky and kind of fun and also just kind of overall funny about it. It does have the ugliest album cover ever, though.
It is a disturbing album cover. It reminds me, for whatever reason, it reminds me of Danny Elfman back when Oingo Boingo was the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. There is something very...
Yeah.
Those were all, you know, those early Oingo Boingo albums all had these really weird illustrations on them. Mm-hmm. But that's what this really reminds me of.
It feels it's missing is the cutout letters to be a ransom note.
Yeah, and they cut out all these little different parts to make a human face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an album cover that absolutely says, hey, it's the 90s. And, and it fits really well with the music. And I initially said something like, hey, you know, you didn't tell me we were listening to a Spin Doctors album.
Yeah.
But I'm going to retract that on my second listen through the album. I think there are a couple songs in here that are super Spin Doctory. And I'm not a Spin Doctor hater. I like the Spin Doctors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like No Time and Work Like a Horse, Drink Like a Fish are very... very Spin Doctory. I think the latter, Work Like a Horse, has a dibba dabba booba dabba dibba dibba, like a, you know.
Well, here's what you want to hear from, what I've always thought. I've always thought it was the Spin Doctors and the Red Hot Chili Peppers had a child.
For sure. That's the other one I was going to compare it to. Television People, I think, and maybe Autumn, no, Autumn Leaves is a slow one. There's a couple songs on here that make me say, okay, maybe not Spin Doctors, but Chili Peppers. So it is that confluence of those two bands, where those two bands meet. There's something else there. And Surfing on Jupiter, I really like. I think I'm with you. Hillbilly Happy Smash is my favorite thing on the album. It is so great.
Yeah.
But I think Surfing on Jupiter is a pretty fun, it's like if you ask the Peppers or the Spin Doctors to cover the Beach Boys, this is kind of what you'd end up with.
Actually figure it's the Peppers and the Spin Doctors covering the dead Milkman, doing this would be the song they do after Bitchin' Camaro,
right? Is Surfing on Jupiter. Yeah. There is a lot here that kind of meshes, and I actually really like it. I'm kind of in for it. Like I if I were to listen to this again, I wouldn't just jump to Hillbilly Happy Smash and call it a day. I would listen to most of the album. Evolving, that first song, it's okay.
Please don't tell me that you want to stay. I don't think I can take you this way. There are things that need not be explained. Walk away from me, please.
It's after that that I think it really hooks me. A New Beginning, Surfing on Jupiter, No Time. Siri is an interesting little instrumental bit. Yep.
And then there's television people, forgiveness, work like a horse, liars, hillbilly, happy smash, eyeball, and the banana slug king.
Yeah, nice little end, a nice little 9 minute song to end yep. your album.
It's their progressive epic.
It really is. Yeah. Would you call this prog funk? Like what is the genre here?
You know, it's considered metal funk. So in the same vein as like extreme Living Color, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it really, mm-hmm. I mean, it really feels like this is a band that Flea started.
Oh, really?
No, it isn't, but it sure sounds like it. Yeah.
It sounds like a band that Flea started. Yeah. I was really excited when I saw that Jerry Harrison of the Talking Heads produced this album. Didn't produce both of their albums. They have another album, but produced this one. So it was really kind of cool to see that. Jerry Harrison, by the way, I mean, he's an unsung hero of the Talking Heads. He had a couple albums out as, God, what were their names? Jerry Harrison's Primitive, no, because I keep wanting to say Primitive Radio Gods, Casual Gods, Jerry Harrison's Casual Gods. And they've got some really good songs. There's, it was actually around the time that I was listening to Accidentally on Purpose, you got to listen to this from a couple episodes ago, that I was listening to that Jerry Harrison's Casual Gods album. They were in the booklet that I held my CDs in so I could, you know, hold 12 CDs with me with my Sony Discman. Mm-hmm. It was 100% exactly how I listen to music in part of the 90s with a Sony Discman that drank batteries like...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the thing, you could not keep AA batteries fast enough for this thing.
Okay, so question on that. Was it the kind, this like the second or third generation where the skip was better handled? Or was it one of those first ones where if you breathed on it funny, it would skip?
It was the second version, okay. But I did have the first version as well. I had both of them.
You had to treat the first one like glass.
You totally did. I mean, it was basically like set it on a desk close to you because you need the earphones to be able to reach, but not on the desk you might be typing on because as you type... it'll make things.
Don't breathe on it. Don't put it on a chair. You've got a fart on. I mean, nothing.
It basically is like the Nigel Tufnel. Don't even look at it. Don't touch it. Don't even look at it. That's exactly what it is.
So I was just looking at their history a little bit. According to their Wikipedia page, which I didn't look at until just now, they played with acts such as Green Day and No Doubt, which totally fits, especially being Southern California bands.
Totally fits.
Yep. And then they played with Pearl Jam, the Sugar Cubes, Was Not Was, Steel Pole Bathtub, which I've never heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Beatings, the Charlatans, and the Vandals. All of those fit like right, straight.
Oh, totally perfect. Do. Yeah.
This person knew how to put them in a lineup.
No kidding. There is a producer, like a concert promoter who was like, all right, here's the list of people we need to get for this. Yep. Yeah, it fits totally. Like, and these guys, that actually is kind of the cool thing, right? The versatility to be able to say, oh yeah, it's these guys are they have their fingers in so many different genres that we could play. Like they have a lot of versatility. They have a lot of options for who we could merge them with or who we could put them together with. Get it through. Now the solutions to our problems sit at some borderline, trapped behind customs, between space and time. In my mind. Which I think is great. Like if you want a band that gets some exposure, my God, sound like several different genres mashed up into one, because you'll get.
And then throw in your novelty song to get Dr. Demento crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what they did, but they should have.
I don't know either, but I bet it is, right? It's the, it totally, I could see this thing on Dr. Demento for sure.
I just found an article from Spin Magazine, And it also lumps him together with the thrash funk metal of Primus and other funk bands, other funk metal bands.
Yeah, not as wacky as Primus, but the music for sure. Like, there's a lot of Les Claypool in that, in that bass that you're hearing.
And even in some of the odd lyrics. I mean, when you talk about No Cops on Jupiter, of course they're not. However, it sounds like a line that was inspired by a you know, My Name is Mud or Winona's Got to Be Brown Beaver.
Right, right, exactly. It's got, I don't know, it's got a really cool melange of styles to it that all of them work for me. And a lot of times those bands don't. Like, I'm not a fan of newer Red Hot Chili Peppers, as I'm sure I've said on this show. At some point, I think somebody's going to make us do the Red Hot Chili Peppers for Soundography, and I'll have to listen to their whole catalog, and I'll be able to say right here, this is the dividing point. Yep, the 50-50
mark is right here.
Yeah, and I think it's after Blood Sugar Sex Magik, but before...
Californication is the line for me.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty close to that for me too.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I was actually a little worried.
No, I really did like it. And it's funny because it actually makes me want to go back and listen to Mother's Milk, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Mother's Milk, Pocket Full of Kryptonite, and go back to that Jerry Harrison Casual Gods album, which I think I might actually listen to in my car today because it's actually kind of great.
This also sent me down a kind of a path of finding weird square dance songs. So there's this one, there's Square Dance Rap by Sir Mix-a-Lot. I found all these kind of different, I don't know, wacky off-genre styles of the square dance music. I had a mixtape years ago of all these different kinds of, you know, alternative square dance songs.
Golly, there is something, new wave or something that I remember. It is like on the edge of memory for me, right? It's, it'll come to me at some point, but there was a square dancey, new wave kind of a square dancey song, and I can't tell you, cannot remember what it was. Golly.
That's one quest that I've been on since the 90s. The other quest is finding all the different kinds of homages, versions, joke versions, references to The Devil Went Down to Georgia. So there's lots of really cool versions of that.
This band couldn't open for the Charlie Daniels band, but it certainly could open for that song.
Well, actually, I could hear him covering it. That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Do we know anybody who was in this band? Did they go on to do something else?
Well, hang on. Let me go back and look at the list of names.
Oh, I guess Adam Ellis started with these guys. Oh man, he's been in a lot of stuff. World Entertainment War, Popo Pies, Dieselhead, Richard Thompson, Virgil Shaw, Chuck Prophet. This guy, this bass guitarist, bass and vocalist, Adam Ellis, probably best, you know, like if you're familiar with a band called Dieselhead, probably the best connection there. Oh, he was bassist and backup vocalist for the New Cars. Dude, I've actually seen this guy in concert then. I've seen Adam Ellis. So he filled in for Benjamin Orr, who obviously passed away long before the New Cars came out. But I've seen this guy. Okay.
Well, I also played with the Tubes just recently too. Like, he was just on with them.
Yeah, the Tubes tour. Yeah, last year, actually. I haven't seen the Tubes. I've seen the Tubes one time. It hasn't been for many, many years. It was mid to late 90s. I feel bad for it, for the name, but it's like a Where Are They Now 80s concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hate those. I hate that phrase.
Legacy. Let's call them Legacy X.
Yeah, Legacy X is much better. But it was basically like Missing Persons, Modern English, Flock of Seagulls, Pop will, not pop will eat itself, but Pop Goes the World, Men Without Hats. And they all, it was like a basic, it was, you know, that was the gist of the concert, right? It was a, oh, let's get all these 80 bands. And the Tubes were part of that. And it was great because the Tubes concerts at the time in the 70s were known for being legendary. Fee Waybill, the lead singer, would, back then, very controversial, now not such a big deal, but he would come out and drag and do half the concert as a female drag queen, which went well with some of their songs like White Punks on Dope and No Anchovies, Please. I need to get, maybe that's another album we need to listen to, is the Completion Backwards Principle. That's such a great album.
So I had Diesel Head confused. I was just looking at, there's a band called Diesel Boy who did a song, a song called a Song for the Kids.
Oh, that's funny. So Diesel Boy. Yeah. Okay. But no relation.
See, they're the first verse. Thanks for spending your dough on our new CD. Can't wait until June when we get our royalties. But the money you spent was not in vain. It was spent on pills, piles and piles of cocaine.
Nice. Excellent. I don't know. I definitely really, really digging this, man. Or dug it, I should say.
Well, I'm glad. Like I said, I was a little nervous because it is... It's out of even the kind of the wheelhouse expected for what I would like in many ways.
It is. Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, the fact that you suggested this, there's a little bit of a progness to it, but it's, you're right. Metal funk is probably the bigger combination there, the fusion of metal and funk. Well, but I think there's a little proggy in there.
You know, and I'm not just a prog hole either. I mean, I listen to lots of other things, but this feels so...
You're a prog hole. You're a prog hole, Hammond.
For information on that, go back to listen to...
You own a Chapman stick, yeah. Exactly. We'll link you back to the PDF that Hammond shared with me.
But, I mean, it's way out there as far as things that people go, oh, wow, you own this album. It's like the day you realized that I had the Nick Kershaw album, that one with Wouldn't It Be Good? And you're like, yes. Holy cow.
You own Human Racing? No way. Yeah. No, those weird little slivers in the Venn diagram definitely always surprised me with us. But this is in there right now. Yeah. This is a thing inside that Venn diagram.
Well, I'm really glad you liked it. And it was fun for me going back and not just listening to it casually, but like listening to it a little bit more critically. And it gave me a lot of insight just into listening for those inspirations. Because I started my third listen when you sent me this sound, Spin Doctors, which I'd already thought, but I'd forgotten that I thought that. And then I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, wow. This is Spin Doctors meets Chili Peppers, for sure.
Yeah, it really is, at least for a few songs in there. And then there's some stuff that kind of has a... God, the Was Not Was, when you mentioned Was Not Was, that's a revelation. It's like, yeah, it totally is. That's another band, man. They, two guys, or two albums, well, two guys, David and Don were. But they put out two albums, as far as I know, and they were both really good. And I don't know why that was the end. I walked the dinosaur just, you know, once we had Uptown Funk.
Yeah, who needs Walk the Dinosaur anymore?
Which completely ripped off Walk the Dinosaur.
Yep.
At me, if you disagree.
Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. They're the same song, and Was Not Was did it better. That was a really interesting, I guess it wasn't a comparison. It was here's a band that they opened for.
Yeah.
Completely.
But it totally fits though. I mean, even Dookie era Green Day, perfect fit.
Yeah. Very cool. No, this was great. Thank you so much for letting me know about this.
Very different from Kim's album, very different from yours, but still entertaining and fun all the same. Tell me about your current quest through Magic Mind.
Well, you've got to take it daily, at least for like 3 or 4 days, till you start noticing the effect. So I'm on, I'm on a Monday through Thursday every week, although I guess that means that on Monday, I'm not getting it from the Saturday and Sunday business, but, and I do it on Fridays if it's going to be completely a work day, right? If it's a, if I'm going to be doing freelance that day. Again, I mean, it really shouldn't matter because you need to use your mind. You need a sharp mind every day of the week. And having Magic Mind definitely enables that. I actually keep the shots. I bought the big box.
Ooh.
And I split them between the fridge I have down here in the studio and the fridge I have, the main fridge in our kitchen. I like them cold.
Oh, I
like
told
the shots
you. I told you cold was good.
Cold is good. Cold is the way to do it. So it's the first thing I do in the morning. If I come down here and I realize, oh no, I forgot to take it. I don't just, you know, I'm not going to trust myself if I haven't taken it. So I go to the fridge down here.
Why go to all the effort of walking back upstairs?
Right, exactly. Because I know what I'll do. I'll say, oh, I'll get to it. And yeah. I won't. That's why I have them down here. Now, if I had the Magic Mind shot, I wouldn't forget to take the Magic Mind shot.
I'm actually really glad because I got kind of back on the wagon again. And yeah, it's one of those things where you don't know there's a difference until you know there's the difference. Yeah. And when you skipped a while, you realize, oh, holy cow.
When you're sitting there struggling to remember a word or something, the name of an actor or somebody from a movie, you know, you notice the difference with the Magic Mind shot and without the Magic Mind shot.
Yeah, sometimes it's a matter of being able to relax your brain and sometimes it's a matter to kind of invigorate it. But it seems like Magic Mind kind of works on both ends. This show alone, we're talking about things kind of off the top of our heads.
Oh, there's lots of comparisons and connections we have to make, yeah. If you remember Fee Waybill as the lead singer of the Tubes, could not have done that without my Magic Mind shot this morning. You know, and we also, we always go down the road talking about this stuff, how quickly it helps your mind with coming up with the phrases and the words and things like that. But it also, there's so many other things, like it decreases your stress, the ashwagandha and the rhodiola rosea, reduce your stress and low-grade anxiety, immunity. Hey, it's springtime. This is like the time when everybody passes colds around like they're Pokemon trading cards. And this has vitamin C.
The little petri dishes that are our children bring things home.
That's right. Exactly. Vitamin C, vitamin D, echinacea to boost your body's immune system and antioxidants more than coffee or regular green tea. There's a lot going on here that isn't just the sharpening your mind and your recall skills and your energy. Focus, obviously, is the big thing right there. The lion's mane mushrooms and Bacopa Monnieri boost your clarity and focus. Well, we want you to enjoy it and try it for yourself. Here's what we want you to do. Go to magicmind.com/sound. Magicmind.com/sound. Sign up for a subscription or get a box to try it out. Get the big box or a little sampler size box. Try it out. And then when it comes time, I'm not going to blame that one. When it comes time to enter in the coupon code, use sound20. That's SOUND20. And get an additional discount off of your order. Use all these in combination, use a subscription and use our coupon code. You'll end up saving 56% off of this, a deal here. So it's completely and totally worth it to use our URL, use our code, try it out, see it for yourself and feel the magic of Magic Mind. Well, Hammond, this has been a lot of fun. I love talking to you about Psychofunkipus. I guess that means though, this is our last, you got to listen to this before we start getting back into shows proper.
Next season, we're going to do the Where Have They Been for season three. We're going to catch up with all the people from season three.
It's a great way to start our seasons now.
We're going to do Taylor Swift.
Oh, fantastic.
Then we're going to do Mike Patton, who was with Faith No More and Mr.
Faith
Bungle.
No More. Yep.
And then the Carpenters.
All right.
We're going to round out our big four of grunge by talking about Nirvana.
Yay. About time. I guess it's funny that we saved them for last.
Then we got Black Sabbath, Sheryl Crow.
Oh, wow.
Because that means we can talk about Kevin Gilbert some.
Yep. Always a plus.
Yep. Love and Rockets.
Yeah.
Houdini.
David J.
Houdini. Avicii.
Oh, cool.
Wilco, Texas. And then we're going to cover 1967. And then we're going to do K-pop with Tom Merritt.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so much fun.
Probably should tell him that sooner than later.
What? Does he not know?
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll tell him in Vegas. Yeah. Just like that time you're doing a show.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. He'll be fine. He'll be happy with that, man. I'm sure.
Yeah. He's an unabashed. He is to K-pop what you are to the Spice Girls.
Yes, he is. Even more so.
I don't think he has. I don't think he has BTS action figures.
No, but he. I mean, they went to South Korea and saw live stuff, and I couldn't be bothered to fly to the UK to go see the Spice Girls in their heyday. So.
Yeah, but you were a young man starting a family, just getting off the ground. Yeah.
But I liked them when they were around. It wasn't like a late discovery. I liked them when their first album came out. Bought it. Well, that is going to do it for this edition of Soundography, the special. You got to listen to this. So if you're a patron, hey, thank you for being a patron. That means that you get these episodes first. You get them almost immediately after we finish recording them. And we thank you for your support. If you're not a patron, hey, now's a great time to become a patron. For that reason, with this new season coming out, patreon.com/soundography. Of course, follow us on the socials. Just do a search for Soundography. We're The Soundography on Twitter, X, whatever, and Threads. Follow us everywhere and get ready for our new show. It's coming out soon. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Emmett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.